Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, monkeypox, we are very, very honoured to be joined by Professor Aris Katsourakis from Oxford University. I think we've done pretty well, creme de la creme of experts. Let's start, Professor. What the hell is monkeypox?
So, monkeypox is a virus. So, it's a parasitic organism that subverts our cells to copy itself and to spread through our bodies and through the population. And in doing so, unfortunately, it can cause some quite nasty symptoms, which is why you'll be hearing about it quite a lot in the news and why we're trying to control it and to limit it. So it's a virus. It's quite different to the coronavirus, which is a different type of virus with an RNA genome rather than a DNA genome. But in some ways it's quite similar, but in many ways really quite different.
Now, when people hear pox, obviously they think maybe chicken pox, but they might also think smallpox, which is one of the deadliest viruses. I think about 200 million people were killed in the 20th century alone by smallpox, but it was eradicated, the only human disease, I think, wasn't it, by the end of 1979. Is it like smallpox?
So it's a cousin of smallpox, and there are a couple of different strains of monkeypox. Even the more virulent of the two strains of monkeypox is less lethal than smallpox. And the version of monkeypox that we're seeing now in the UK and Europe and other countries is the lesser of the two strains in terms of how harmful it is. It's still, in the countries in which it's normally found, has a fatality rate of about 1%. So it's nothing like the kind of 30% fatalities that one might see with smallpox. And that 1%, of course, is dependent on the overall population health and population infrastructure. So we might expect an even lower fatality rate. And in fact, so far, have seen, to the best of my knowledge, haven't seen any fatalities in this recent outbreak.
What are the kind of symptoms of smallpox? And I suppose, does it vary? I mean, because a lot of people are thinking big boils all over their body. Is that the extreme or is that the standard? And are there other symptoms? And is there the issue of being an asymptomatic carrier? Because they spread the illness, don't they, often viruses?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have seen these quite alarming pictures, and it's not that it's not an alarming virus in terms of its symptoms, but a lot of the pictures that one might have seen on the internet or on websites are stock photos, sometimes from the more severe of the two variants. Although the one we're seeing now, it still causes these blisters and pustules. It can cause rashes. It's a fairly unpleasant virus, but the kind of pictures that one sees may not be exactly what someone who suffers from it will see. So if you want to see what the lesions look like, the UKHSA, for example, has some quite detailed pictures of the range of kind of manifestations that this virus can really show. So that's a sort of reliable source of information if you're worried that what it might look like.
So I'm going to invent a new scale, one to COVID. We might as well laugh. We've gone through absolute hell. We went through hell. So that's a good coping mechanism. But I think a lot of people are having flashbacks. That's the issue at the moment. So the beginning of COVID, when you suddenly saw these little outbreaks in different countries, and a lot of people are like, it'll probably be fine. And maybe some people were like, no, we need to ring the alarm bells, but they weren't really listened to. And now people look back and think maybe they should have been listened to. So people are stuck in this kind of, are we going to go through that all over again? So I guess from one to COVID, how worried are you? How similar, it's a different illness, as you've said, a different sort of virus, but how worried are you compared to what we just went through?
So the virus doesn't transmit as easily and as stealthily as COVID, and that makes it an easier public health problem to deal with. So the problem with COVID is it has these very, very high spread rates in the population, and it can do a lot of its spreading before it makes people ill. This virus doesn't spread anything like as fast as COVID, and it has these very obvious physical manifestations. So it's more easy for patients who have it to identify as having it, to seek treatment and to isolate themselves. And that's why typically when we have monkeypox outbreaks in endemic countries and countries where it's found normally, they're often relatively self-limiting chains of transmission. So you get a crossover event from an animal to a human, but then the human identifies that they have the virus and will not spread it on further. We're a little bit past that point now because we do have a sustained chain of human-to-human transmission. And that's why people are understandably more concerned than if it was just a couple of unconnected cases. On a scale of from 1 to 10, with 10 being COVID, I think people vary in their alarm from between 2 and 4. Say, I mean, this is completely arbitrary, but it's alarming, and it would be alarming if we let it run its course and didn't do anything about it. But there's a very rapid response. People and governments are intervening. They are seeking to identify cases. They're seeking to identify contacts. Advising people to isolate, offering the vaccine to contacts, and really trying to stamp this down. So if we do all the right things, and this doesn't get away with us, it's going to become zero quite quickly. So have we learned lessons from COVID, and will we apply all the lessons we learned from COVID? If we do everything right, this is potentially manageable and we can get on top of it.
There's no question that these outbreaks have disproportionately been concentrated amongst gay and bisexual men who have had sex with men. Now, this is a sensitive issue because a lot of LGBTQ activists are worried about kind of stigma. Obviously, HIV was originally framed as a kind of the gay plague, and people are sensitive in the current atmosphere for lots of reasons. So what the hell is going on there? Why would it be so concentrated amongst, frankly, so many men who've had sexual contact with other men?
So the virus doesn't really care in what type of person it's replicating. It's just there to replicate, to spread, and to do its thing, and to try and maximize its spread through the population. So what looks like has happened from the virus's perspective is it's got itself into a group of individuals who are more connected than average and have more close contact encounters with each other. And that's given the virus a fast route to spread rapidly through that group. That doesn't mean that the virus knows what kind of individuals it's in, and it doesn't mean that its spread is exclusive to that group. It just so happens to be the case that that's where it's found itself, and that has helped its early spread through humans since we first identified it. Potentially, if it got into another group that regularly had close contact, and it's the close contact that is important here, not whether they're men, not whether they're gay, not whether they have, whether it's men who have sex with men, it's whether it happens to be in a community that has regular close contact. So the important thing is to make sure that we can contain it, that people who do have do present with the disease can go to clinics without fear of stigma, because it's absolutely not something that someone who manifests the disease is responsible for. It's just a virus. It's just there to do its thing, and we have to recognize this and make sure that we can adequately get on top of the situation by providing the right support.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Now, I watched Contagion, the film, before COVID, SARS-CoV-19 became the pandemic that we all lived through. And all I'm saying is it didn't have variants in that film. That was a surprise addition for lots of people in that pandemic. And I suppose the concern many people would have is the issue of mutations, because I think a lot of people thought in the early days of COVID, well, if it mutates, it'll become less virulent. And that didn't happen, as we all, you know, as a Delta veteran. So what do you think it has mutated? The evidence seems to suggest it hasn't, but could it mutate? And there's also, for example, talk of quarantining people's pets, guinea pigs, or even destroying them. Because why is that? So those are two questions. Do you think it's mutated, or three? Do you think it's mutated? Could it mutate and become more serious? And what's going on with the pet thing?
Okay, so do we think it's mutated? Well, there are some signs that there is some genetic difference from this virus relative to the earlier strains that hit the UK about 3 or 4 years ago. So the sequences from this virus are most similar to sequences from an earlier outbreak in Europe that included the UK. But they do have a number of changes that change the proteins that the virus codes for, the bits that interact with the organism in which it replicates. Whether those changes represent adaptation to humans, whether this is sort of better adapted at spreading between humans, or whether the spread that we're seeing is just because it's got into a better connected group is still an open question. It's possible. But to get to the second question, the more important thing is that we don't give it any chances to adapt to human-to-human transmission. So we don't want to give the virus the opportunity to keep spreading through the human population and to become a more human virus, not just a virus that accidentally got into humans and doesn't really know what it's doing in an evolutionary sense in its current host, but one that's actually much better at spreading between humans. And like you say, that's the unfortunate lesson that COVID variants gave us, which is that, you know, the first version of COVID wasn't terribly good at spreading through humans, but then the Delta version and the Omicron version were much, much better at spreading from between humans because of this adaptation. So we don't want to give this virus any chance to do that. Now,
are people's guinea pigs going to get killed en masse?
So there was a piece of news earlier on today about pets, and I think depending on the kind of pet, like if it's a cat or a dog, and the case that has monkeypox has a cat or a dog, they're recommending you keep your pet at home. And if it's a rodent, they are recommending a more secure form of containment. I don't want to give like specific advice, but people should go to the UKHSA's website just to make sure that they're on top of the most up-to-date advice on this. But, you know, this is a precaution, and it's a precaution to stop this virus from entering the native animals of the UK. And that's the fear. The fear is that if we don't contain this outbreak early, we may eventually stop community transmission. But if the virus gets into the animal population of the UK, it'll always be around and able to pop back into humans. So we don't, out of an abundance of caution, and you know, it's sensible to show an abundance of caution, these quite extreme sounding measures are being taken. I mean, we're not talking about a large number of animals. We're talking about a few individuals who are cases or contacts who happen to have rodents as pets, right? And we're not, you know, we're not talking about the kind of mass cullings of pets that we sometimes hear about on the news that have happened in some other countries.
So finally, getting to zero monkeypox, because zero COVID is dead as a strategy. We're stuck with COVID. Let's be honest. It's absolutely everywhere. And we're all just going to have to keep going through recurring COVID infections, probably in all likelihood. So that's a shame, I would say. That's going to we've got over 1,000 people dying a month in this country alone. Can we get to zero monkeypox? Because obviously the outbreaks are far more contained. And I suppose I'm interested in the smallpox vaccine, which I understand is very effective. A lot of older people maybe have residual sort of immunity because of it against monkeypox. So treatments, and what are the other, you know, because I think a lot of people are thinking, what, that we can have restrictions like we had with COVID of some form. So what do you think is likely? What do you think we can get to zero monkeypox, and how do we get there, and how likely do you think any form of restrictions could end up being?
Yeah, I mean, to an extent, it depends what you mean by we. So in terms of the you know, the UK and the more affluent parts of the world that this outbreak is currently in, I think it is quite realistic that they can get to zero monkeypox if all the right steps are taken. If quarantining and isolation is deployed, and if so-called ring vaccination of contacts, which is currently happening in the UK, right? So if you have contacts and you're an index case of monkeypox, all your contacts are offered this very effective smallpox vaccine. It's a vaccine that's designed for smallpox rather than monkeypox, but it is very effective against monkeypox. So the hope is that we can get to zero monkeypox here without actually having to deploy mass vaccination, simply by vaccinating contacts and having this quite targeted approach. If we get things early and get this under control, this shouldn't be a problem for the wider population. And I don't envisage the kind of like mass rollout of vaccination, right, that we've seen with COVID by any stretch. But in terms of who we is and whether we can see zero monkeypox more generally, we've got to remember that there are countries in which monkeypox is endemic. You know, if we really want to get to zero monkeypox and to make sure that similar outbreaks don't affect anybody in future, we have to think about investments into the health infrastructure of these countries, right? Mm-hmm. Like where it actually potentially could come from again, and where obviously people have been dealing with monkeypox and having to suffer quite horrible sort of coexistence with this virus for quite some time. So there's zero monkeypox here, very very feasible. Zero monkeypox globally, it's gonna, you know, take a little bit more thinking and investments and joined up thinking.
So very very finally, you pointed out the death rate in those countries where it's endemic is about 1%. I guess instinctively some people might get slightly alarmed there, because I think, well, actually COVID death rate was probably about 1%. But is the difference that COVID obviously became, well, it was already, but it became such an infectious illness that at scale that means a huge death toll? And is it the case that maybe because of the smallpox vaccine, some of the people who are older and more vulnerable are likely to be the most protected? So that might, we haven't seen any deaths, fingers crossed, so far. So hopefully, do you think, yeah, confident that death toll will stay very, well, may stay zero?
Yeah, I mean, you raise a hugely important point, which is like the numbers game, right? The death rate is the rate per infection, but obviously the total number of infections is absolutely crucial for determining the scale of the problem. And if we stop this at the, you know, the few dozen or a couple of hundred at most cases, we may get away with not seeing deaths. Hopefully the elder population is protected by residual smallpox vaccine, although that you know that is quite some time ago. If you're of the age that has had the smallpox vaccine and are worried about symptoms, do go to a clinic and follow advice. Don't assume that there is complete protection there. But we do have that vaccine, right? So worst comes to the worst, we will get more vaccine and deploy it to deal with the situation.
Professor Aris Katsourakis, who is Professor of Evolution in Genomics.
Yeah, genomics, yeah.
I don't know what my problem is there. At St. Hilda's College, Oxford University, really honoured and privileged to have your expertise, sober, calm, straight to the facts about monkeypox. So thank you so, so much.
Oh, the pleasure's all mine. Thanks for having me on. It's really great to see you.
Thanks for listening, everyone. I hope you found that informative, educational, interesting, and isolated. Do support us on Patreon to keep the show on the road, /OwenJones84. Leave us some stars, that'd be nice. Spread the word. And I look forward to speaking to you soon.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.